Hey, special educators, I'm Jennifer from Positively Learning. Welcome to the Special Educators Resource Room. If you're like me, you're always looking for ways to save time and streamline your work. That's why this podcast was created, to give you the systems and solutions you need to get your time back. Tune in for tips, tricks, and tools that will help you manage your workload and make the most of your time. Whether you're brand new or experienced, all are welcome in the Special Educators Resource Room. What do you need to set up your task box system? I'm not talking like the nice to have when you have lots of time and it looks so cute. I'm talking, what do you need? Bare minimum. That's what this podcast episode is all about. A couple of weeks ago, I sent out a survey. I still have it open. I'll put the link in the show notes if you'd like to participate. In this survey, I asked a ton of questions of special educators just like you. These questions were about the podcast and about task boxes and other special education supports. And I really wanted to know what was helpful, what were you still looking for, everything that's on your mind. And you guys came through. There are so many thoughtful answers. It's going to take me a while to read them all, but I promise you I am. I actually made a really nice spreadsheet. I'm highlighting answers that were very similar to each other and answers that were completely different. There was one set of answers that really surprised me. I was asking about the TaskBox Dollar Club and maybe why you don't use it or have a TaskBox system. And there were lots of answers. A couple of them were the same, and it was that feeling of being completely overwhelmed of where to even start setting up an independent work system in your classroom. And I was floored because I do feel like I talk about this all the time. And I thought, this is so easy. This is actually why I used task boxes, because I wanted to get it set up quickly without a lot of fuss. And this fits the bill. So this episode is devoted to answering that question right away. I'm going to give you the bare minimum steps to setting up a task box system in your classroom so that you can do it quickly. And then after I list out the steps, I'm going to go back and tell you which steps I didn't even do. I wanted it to be set up even quicker than that. So let's get started. A couple of disclaimers before I list out the steps. Number one, feel free to substitute any independent work that your students are doing. Maybe it's something you already have in your classroom. I love task boxes, and there's many reasons why I chose that system, but maybe you use student binders, some other type of bin or file folders. So every time I say task boxes, feel free to make that substitution. The other disclaimer is when I say less is more, I truly mean it. So if I list a step that I did, trust me, that is an important step because I really do want to make this as easy as possible. All right, let's get started. The first thing you need are students, of course, and you want to be really clear on their independent levels. So you are choosing tasks that they can perform independently. Yes, you can have task boxes that are at their instructional level. Maybe you're using these one-on-one in a small group or for progress monitoring, but for the independent work system, it should be at their independent level. Now that we have the students, we need to add the task boxes. So to me, this is the fun part. However, I think this is probably where the overwhelm comes in. So take a look in your classroom. What do you already have that can be turned into an independent work task? I also have some free task boxes in my Positively Learning TPT store and on my website. So you may want to start that route, grab some free ones, set it up so that you can get the system up and running. It does not need to be perfect from the start. I know I just said grab whatever in your classroom already or some free sets, but I do want to add on to that. I do recommend using the free sets from Positively Learning, and here's why. All of the task boxes that I have in the Task Box Dollar Club are set up exactly the same way as the free sets. So if the free sets go well and your students love them as much as I expect them to, then it's very seamless to add on more tasks. So any tasks that I have in my TPT store or in the Task Box Dollar Club follow the exact same format. Students will get used to seeing the visual directions that are included, the title that's included, the way the questions are set up and asked. Whether they're using a task for an ELA concept or social skills, it has that same uniform look. And that's so important when we are talking about increasing student independence. So I have a blog post and I will put that link in the show notes so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. All right, so let's review what we need bare minimum to set up a system. Number one, we need students. Number two, we need some task boxes. And number three, we need storage. And storage is broken down in two different ways. First, we need storage for the actual tasks our students are going to be using. And then we need storage for all of the tasks to keep ourselves organized because we do not want to be overwhelmed. I am super partial to using those plastic photo storage boxes that are 4 by 6 inches, but it was not love at first sight. First, I tried plastic food storage bags, the kind with the zipper top, and those were really difficult for my students to open and close. I also tried a dollar style bin that had lids. You definitely do not want to have a separated lid. For some reason, we were always missing lids in my classroom. It was kind of like that lost sock theory. The last thing we tried were those poly envelopes. They look really nice, and I had such high hopes because they store so easily. However, my students struggled with the string closure. You have to wrap around the string. There are some Velcro options out there that worked so much better. But when all was said and done, it was just way out of my budget to get enough of these poly envelopes. So when I think about all of the time and money that I had wasted trying to get different things set up, I wish I had just gone with the photo storage boxes from the beginning. The next type of storage we want to think about is how we're going to store all of these photo storage boxes. They do come in suitcases, and the suitcases hold 16. However, I ditch those immediately. Although the TaskBox photo storage boxes are very durable, we did not find the suitcase as durable. So if it falls off a table, there's a good chance it's going to crack. Not all of the suitcases that I've had close correctly. And there is just no amount of patience to watch students, no matter how hard they are trying, to put those task boxes back into the suitcase. It can take a very long time. And yes, it's a wonderful fine motor task, but we don't have classroom time like that. And then, of course, it will fall off the table right when they're done and you got to start all over again. So we ditched the suitcases and here's what we did instead. We used those huge plastic storage bins. They're 30 gallons and they come with a lid. I like to use the clear one so my students can see all the colorful boxes inside and get excited. And we did not use the lid. I just set those aside. I wanted the boxes to be as accessible as possible for my students. So we had three of these 30-gallon tubs. One for literacy, one for math, and one as a catch-all. It could have the social, emotional, life skills, fine motor. Each tub comfortably holds 70 to 75 of these photo storage boxes, especially if you don't use the lid. So if I have three of these tubs, you can see I had over 200 task boxes. I usually kept holidays and seasons separate. Those stayed with my teacher storage, and I would just bring them out when the time was right. I really liked using these tubs because they slid under a table, so they were out of our way. I had one of those very small trapezoid tables that seats like three students. I had that pushed into the corner, had the boxes slid underneath, and then on top of that table, I had some supplies for students and some visuals to help them with their independence. If you had a larger table, you could, of course, fit more bins underneath. Let's recap what we need to set up our independent work system. Number one, we need students. Number two, we need tasks. And number three, we need storage. Storage for the actual tasks and where we're going to put all of the task boxes when students are not using them. There's one important thing I want to point out, and you may have already caught it. When I have these large tubs of literacy, math, and then the catch-all, these are evergreen, which means they are non-seasonal, non-holiday. So once you set up the system, you don't need to go back and fix it, change it, replace it. It's done. So imagine on the first day of school, you set up three bins. Maybe each bin has 10 tasks in it because you're just getting started. Throughout the year, as you're gathering more task boxes because you know what your students need and you prep that, it just goes in that bin. By the end of the year, those bins are probably going to be half full or maybe all the way full. But you never had to go and switch them out. I don't know about you, but that makes a huge difference for me. There were early years where I was switching out centers every week, every other week, every month, and it took a lot of time. When I switched over to this independent work system using task boxes, I could scratch that off my to-do list. What else do we need to set up an independent work system using task boxes? We have students, we have our tasks, and we have our storage. The last piece of the puzzle is some type of visual organization. Visual organization for you as the teacher and for your students so that they can continue to use the system as independently as possible. Here are some organizational visual aids you may want to consider. You could label your boxes with something that is student friendly. Maybe all of the boxes have color coding, or you've labeled them with shapes, animals, numbers, letters, you name it. And students would be able to say, oh, I'm going to be doing 3 yellow triangle boxes, and then I get a reinforcement, or then I get to choose a green circle task. Maybe this is embedded with the way you've set up your storage. Maybe you are not using those large tubs, but instead have drawer systems, and those drawer systems could be labeled with something similar. You may want to consider a type of token board where students are moving the pieces. I've done task 1, 2, and 3, and now here's my preferred reinforcement. Maybe it's another free choice. Maybe it's a completely different activity. The intention of all of these visual aids is to help everything stay organized, but also support your students in accessing these task boxes independently. Remember at the beginning when I mentioned that I use a less is more approach? It's definitely true when it comes to those organizational visual aids. I actually skipped the rotation. I did not label the boxes with animals, numbers, letters, shapes, or anything like that. I did use a sticker system, but it wasn't for my students, it was for myself. I used those little garage sale stickers and just put them at the top corners of the task box. My students probably didn't even know they were there. So what I did is I just looked at the scope and sequence. So for example, phonics, and I may be following the rainbow. So I would block off on that scope and sequence the beginning skills, and those would be red. And then I would block off like the next natural progression of skills. Those might be orange and yellow and green and so on. So I did label boxes that way. Near the beginning of the school year, when I had those huge tubs of boxes, maybe all of us were only using red, orange, and yellow. Halfway through the year, maybe green and blue came out. That really worked for us. Now, the organizational systems using the shapes and the different rotations, they are a fantastic idea, but it felt like an extra step for me. I was usually a one-woman show in the classroom, so our stickers worked for me. If you have several support roles in your classroom and have several adults managing the system, it might be easier to consider using a rotation system. The last thing was labeling the task boxes. I skipped over this step because all of the task box sets that I've created have a title card that is student friendly, and I print those out with the task cards and I insert it in the top of that photo storage box. That way I don't have to label them. I can see the title right through the box. That worked for us. I did have labels on the large tubs. They are colorful and they just say literacy, math, social emotional, life skills, or whatever you want them to say. They print out on letter size paper. You can insert it in a sheet protector or laminate it and attach it to the tubs. I have a set of editable labels just like that that you can print out for free. They're on my Positively Learning Teachers Pay Teachers store. I also have them on my website. I put them in the blog post. So when you go to the show notes and click on the blog post, you're going to see it there. I also used a student independent checklist. It was a colorful visual. It's free on my website, and I had that printed out. So you can display that on the table that's above the bins, or you could print it out task box size and insert it into all the task boxes. That is way too much for me. I printed it out on letter size paper and I taped it to the table. Super fancy, I know. But that's actually the point of this podcast. Now that we've reached the end, I hope that you recognize how easy this is to set up. It is much easier, in my opinion, than keeping track of centers. So when I switched over to this system, I did it because I wanted to save that time and I wanted my students to be successful. I greatly dislike that phrase, if I can do it, anybody could do it. But in this case, it is so true. All right, let me know if you have any questions. Be sure to hop over to the show notes. There's some free things, blog posts, a survey, all sorts of good stuff. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate your support and I will talk to you soon. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm dying to ask, what'd you think? Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. You can find the show notes and links for everything mentioned in this episode at positivelylearningblog.com. See you next week for more special education solutions.